Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, this is Joe McGee, and welcome to Faith for Families. We're glad you're here today. I need you to get a pencil and some paper. We're going to give you a lot of good things to write down today. This is a brand new series we're going to call Ever After. You ever read stories when you're a kid and they lived happily ever after? Don't you love that? You watch movies and they lived happily ever after. Well, everybody's going to live ever after. Happily, I don't know. There's a choice. So we're talking about ever after. What will you choose? Where are you going to end up? This is something I taught high school students years and years ago, because high school students love to talk about the unknown, like talk about the future, science fiction things. And so a lot of questions about heaven, hell, eternity, the devil and angels and sin and salvation. And well, who sins and do you sin and can you sin and how do you get saved? The word of God, you know, that gives you the answer for all that stuff. Talk about the judgments of God, that God does judge. God's a loving God, but there are judgments. His word is what judges us. That God's trying to save mankind. There's an all-out rescue mission from heaven trying to save all of man. So we did, went through several weeks and just began to teach them. So we're going to cover these six sessions here about ever after. Where are you going to end up? And how are you going to get there? Because there's a way. God desires for us to live forever with him. That's why God made mankind. He loved mankind. He wanted somebody that would choose him for a free will. So if you got a pencil and paper, go ahead and get it. We're going to give you a lot of scriptures today, because it's the word of God that sets the course, changes your life, gives you what to do, and it's what's going to save us. So we're going to know that. So write this down. It's going to build you some faith today. Number one, we were created for God's glory. Because you talk about, what is sin? Well, sin's doing the opposite of what God wants. You know, God made mankind. You know, the Bible says that you and I have been bought with a price if we're saved. We get to choose to serve God. God did not make us robots. We're not like angels. We're humans. We have a free will and a free choice. But we were created to bring glory for God. Now, listen to these scriptures. Revelation chapter 4 says this: "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." I'm here for one reason. God made me. And God made me for one reason: to glorify him, to bring him honor, to make him look good. You know, as a parent, you ever had your kids say, "You're afraid we're going to embarrass you"? It's exactly right. You've got my name, and I don't like you making me look stupid. Even humans understand that trait. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this: the first two sins man committed. It says, "Because although men knew God," number one, "they did not glorify him as God." Well, we realize in Revelation, I was created to glorify God. But man, because of sin, because of what Adam did not glorify God, but they were unthankful. They became unthankful because they were futile in their thoughts. In other words, an unthankful heart's a dangerous place. I don't know if you know this, but in Romans chapter 1, the last stage of a human before they become a reprobate, unable to repent, is that they become unthankful. 2 Timothy chapter 3 lists 22 kinds of people in the New Testament we're told to stay away from. Said those that are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and heady, high-minded, truce-breakers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Unthankful people, it says, from such stay away. Why? It'll get on you. God does not like unthankful people. Thanksgiving attracts heaven, whether you know that or not. That's why it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Even when you pray, God, before you go to God, start praying and asking and bringing your supplication, you ought to go in there thanking. Now, here's the problem. When Adam sinned in the garden, turned his back on God, said yes to the devil, sin entered into mankind, and with sin came death. Because the wages of sin is death. That's why sin is so critical. The number one enemy of every family, every human, is sin, doing what's wrong. Well, number one, I can't do what's right if I don't know what's right. That's why God gave the law. But the thing about the law was we couldn't keep it. And that's why God gave it. Why God gave the Ten Commandments, the 613. God said, here's what's right. Here's what's wrong. The reason I'm giving it to you is because you won't be able to do it. You have flesh. You're not going to be able to do it. You have a sin nature. I tell people, all people have flesh. One day we get a new body. The body we've got right now is damned. There's nothing good in it. But when we sin, we turned our heart against God. That's why we need to be saved. That's why we need to be born again. But listen to this about the human heart, because people say, well, most people are good. No, they're not. Now listen to this. This is the word of God. God alone knows the thoughts of mankind. Jeremiah 17:10. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives and give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. God said, listen, what I do is not important. It's the motive behind it. God's judging my heart when I do things. Listen to this. I like this. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and 22 says this. Jesus said, it is what comes through the inside. It's what comes out of a man from the inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come these things. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Where's the problem at? The human heart. Because I do what I think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You ever had a family member and you ask, why do they act that way? They act that way because they think that way. Why do they think that way? Because the heart of man is evil and wicked. He needs to be born again. Old things need to pass away. All things need to become new. God gave the law to show us you can't live this. I'm going to show what's right, but you don't have the power to do it. While Paul wrote, I'm doing things I shouldn't do and not doing things I should do. What's the answer? I need to renew my mind with the word of God. I need to grow in God's grace and his knowledge. The sin's got a hold on me. I need to be delivered. He goes on and says, what does God call sin? Look at this. This is fascinating. James 4:17. James 4:17. God says this. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's not what you do. It's not doing what you know you ought to do. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You don't do what I ask you to do. He said, I'm not your Lord if you're not doing what I ask you to do. Everybody's got sin. Now watch this. 1 John 1:8. We claim we have no sin. We are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. 1 John 1:10. If we claim that we have not sinned, that we're not a sinner, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Listen, when Adam sinned, that sin nature passed down through every man. Every child that Adam had, that means you and I coming from Adam, have a sin nature. Everybody's born with it. That's why all men have sin. All men have sin. No good people. That's why all men need to be saved. That's why Jesus came to die for sinners, to save us from that sin nature that came in through Adam. Look at this, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the results of sin. When Adam sinned, sin entered into the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. Romans 6:23, I like this. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then James 1:15 says this, those desires coming from temptations give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, gives birth to death. That's what happens. Everybody's a sinner because everybody's got a sin nature because we inherited it from Adam. That's why everybody needs Jesus. That's why Jesus came to die. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God said he knew when he made Adam, he's going to mess up. He knew it. God knows everything. I'm going to make Adam. I want somebody who will freely choose me of their own will. So God didn't make robots. We get to choose. That's why God said, I set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. You choose. The problem is if I choose wrong, that's going to get me killed. I'm trying to get life. I want the life and life more abundant, Jesus promised in John 10. The only way I can do that is by getting Jesus in my heart. I need to be born again. Old things pass away. All things become new. Look what it says here about unrepentant sinners. This gets ugly. Matthew 25:41. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire. Prepare for the devil and his demons. You know, I get asked a lot of questions, especially now I work with high school students and young people. How can a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. God did not make hell for humans. God made hell for only one group of people, the devil, the Antichrist, and the angels that rebelled against him. One third of all angelic forces rebelled against God. Hell was created for them. Jesus came to die for all sinners so nobody would have to go to hell. But every day somebody wakes up surprised they're there because they didn't choose to go to heaven either. Because life is about choices. You have to choose. God paid for our salvation when Jesus went to the cross, but we have to receive it. That's why you read 8 times in the Bible about your name being blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, not written down. Somebody eventually comes to a point of decision of, no, I don't want Jesus. No, I don't want heaven. No, I don't want it. I want to do this. How could somebody choose that? Well, people do it, and they do it every day. Listen to this. Revelation 20:12-15. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were open, including the book of life. That's where we need to be, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And that's the final judgment. Now, we're going to talk later about heaven and hell. There's different words in Greek and Hebrew you need to understand. Sheol, place in the bottom of the earth. Sheol is a place where if you died and you did have faith in God, you went there to the place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. In Sheol, in the middle of the earth, because you didn't go to heaven, because Jesus hadn't gone to heaven yet. He's the first fruits of those born again. He was the first one. But before Jesus died and was raised from the dead, nobody went to heaven when they died. They went to Abraham's bosom. That's what Lazarus, remember Lazarus and the rich man? They go to a place reserved for them, a confinement area in earth. Now, it's nice there. It's a place of rest, a place of comfort. But across from paradise, or Abraham's bosom, in the belly of the earth, across from Sheol, you looked over and you saw Hades. Hades is a temporary place. We can call it hell, but Hades is a temporary place reserved for those who died not believing in God. And then on the other side, that's where the rich man was. But those are temporary places. There are other words in the Bible called hell referred to as Gehenna. Gehenna is a permanent place that people will go eventually. But that's called Gehenna is the lake of fire. And eventually hell and death will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's the last place after the judgment. And those who are sinners who are not saved, that's where they end up. Not because God sent them there, because they chose to go there. And we don't want to do that. That's why sin is such a horrible thing. Eight kinds of people will be found in the lake of fire, the final place. Not hell, Hades and Sheol, which is now empty, by the way, because when Jesus came out of the grave, all the saints who had died in faith went to heaven. That's why the Bible says now to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what happens? Those people are gone. So paradise is empty in the belly of the earth. Not Hades. Those who die and are not saved, your sinners who die and are unrepentant, they go down to Hades and they will wait there until the final judgment where they'll be brought out, be judged and thrown in a resurrected body, believe it or not, and then they'll go into the lake of fire. But here are the eight kinds of people. This is Revelation 21, verse 8. Eight kinds of people found in the lake of fire, the final judgment of all humans. Cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death, Revelation says. Now, the purpose of Jesus coming was to save us from that. God's not sending us there. He sacrificed his son to keep us from having to go there. Look at this. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a trustworthy saying. It says, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who's a sinner? Everybody. Once Adam sinned, everything that came out of his loins after that had the sin nature in it. All have sinned. Who did Jesus come to die for? Sinners. Jesus didn't die for good people. There were none. Jesus died for sinners. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 said this. Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And then he added, now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus, what'd you come for? Save people who knew they were lost, that couldn't live right, that couldn't act right, that couldn't be a good mother, good father, good husband, good wife, good child, good employer. They knew they couldn't. They're trying. They can't. What is it? Sinner. They're lost. They have no God. They're lost. God said, I want them. I love them. I'm going to send my son. That's who I came for. Luke chapter 15, verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. They were mad that Jesus hang out with sinners. Why? Because Jesus loves sinners. God's not trying to kill sinners off. God's not mad that sinners sin. It's what sinners do. Sinners sin. He's coming trying to save them. Watch this. God did not cheat. Hebrews 4:15. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we did yet without sin. Jesus came as a man. He was God. He laid down his glory in heaven as God, took on the body of a man because a man lost it. A man had to get it back. A man lost salvation. A man had to get it back. And the second Adam, Jesus, came, faced everything we face, same temptation, but without sin. It says this in 1 Peter 2:22. He, Jesus, never sinned nor ever deceived anybody. The purpose of Jesus dying on the cross is very simple. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Christ suffered for our sins once and for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. God's not trying to kill people off because, well, that's God getting mad. God's not mad. God is love. It's not what he does is who he is. God's trying to save the lost. It says this, he suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. 1 Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Watch this. By his stripes, we were healed. Now, this is what Paul teaches in the gospel. Look at this. This is what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Everybody's a sinner, but Christ died for our sins. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.